I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, Morgan Moses will join us from the Redskins. We'll catch up with him.
Yeah, we missed him last week. We missed him last week, right?
He did. That's correct.
He was having an MRI.
Yes. You can update us on that and more.
All right. Let's talk a little college football here to lead off the sports page. If you had Ohio State and you laid 43.5 or 44.
Yep.
Or whatever it was, whatever your book had, you really didn't worry about it. It was 42-0 at half.
Right.
Final score 73-14. I was thinking about this. I can't imagine this has ever happened before, but Maryland might be the only team that scored 70 in the season that they've given up 70.
Right.
Mm, that's true.
You know, they beat Howard 79-10 or whatever it was, and then they obviously lose this week 73-14. Is Maryland the only team to score 70 and give up 70 in the same season?
I'm going to guess it's happened at some point, but it's got to be very rare.
I'm sure it has.
That happens.
But just some stats here. I actually had the first half number. I laid 27.5. Ohio
State didn't even sweat it.
And it's 42-0. But here were some of the final stats for the game. This is basically Ohio State playing an FCS team.
Right.
They had 40 first downs to Maryland 16. They were 9 for 14 on third down. Maryland was 2 for 12. They had 705 total yards. Maryland had 139. They were 26 for 38 passing. Maryland was 8 for 17. They had 383 rushing yards. Maryland had 62. Those are unbelievable numbers.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
That's the same conference.
Yeah, just, I mean.
Just bad, man.
It's wild. It's a really bizarre year for the Terps. I mean, obviously, this is bottom.
Yep.
But you know how there's a rumor out there, and I think they even alluded to it during the broadcast, according to Pete. But I was talking to a buddy of mine this weekend that, you know, Ohio State did not let off the gas. I mean, they were like onside kicking everything else. And the idea is they think someone locally, spilled the beans on this loan that Chase Young took. Which has gotten him in sort of hot water here with the NCAA. Now, in Chase's defense, he said it was a family friend. He paid it back last year. But somehow, all of a sudden, right before the Maryland game with a bunch of local ties, obviously Chase played locally at DeMatha High School.
Yeah.
There's a lot of DeMatha guys, frankly, that are on the Terrapins and part of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder. I mean, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
I could see that.
But maybe somebody locally sort of did catch wind of it.
And they said, F you, we're going to pound you by 60.
And they said, F you. Now, I'm not saying that happened, but I'm just saying that's the rumor. So you could at least see why Ohio State might be pissed off.
I think it's a joke that you can't fly your girlfriend to go see you play a game. You pay it back. The NCAA, Feinstein was on target. The NCAA is just a bunch of communists.
Yeah.
I just think it's stupid. Why not just look the other way? If he gets suspended for the rest of the year, that would be a real shame.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be the case. But who knows? I have no idea.
I mean, that'd be a real shame.
Getting back to Maryland, though, for a second, the season cannot end soon enough for the Terps. I mean, they have two games left. Jason, I think we might be able to grasp at the four wins.
They're not going to beat Nebraska.
They've got a bye, and then Nebraska comes to Maryland. Nebraska's not very good.
Maryland's one of the worst. Here's another
I know
stat.
That Maryland's terrible. I understand.
There's only four
Nebraska's
teams.
Nebraska's bad, too.
They're bad.
Yeah.
But they're still better than Maryland. There's four teams in the country that have given up more points, total points than Maryland.
Ooh.
UMass.
Yep.
UConn.
New Mexico State. Is that one of them?
I don't think so. North Texas and Arkansas.
Wow.
Those are the only four teams that have given up more points, I believe.
And Arkansas just whacked their coach because they said, we cannot lose to Western Kentucky. You can't get boat raced by them.
Exactly.
It's an embarrassment.
So I know Nebraska's not very good. I know that.
But I'm just saying there's a grasper. I'm not by any means saying that the Terps are going to smack them around. I'm just saying we have a micro sweat to push our bet, not to win it, the push.
How are they going to score points?
I don't know.
They don't have a quarterback that can move the team.
I don't have the answer to that question. Right. I wish I did, but I don't.
All right.
He apparently neither does Locksley.
Look, I'm with you. I'm grasping that Nebraska doesn't show up, but I think they could still play their C-plus game and still win, but
right.
We'll see. By the way, Ohio State will play Rutgers this week. I've already seen the opening line. What's your guess on the opening line?
Opening line, I have not seen this. Is it doesn't matter where they play. Is it at Rutgers, at Ohio State?
This game, I believe, is at Rutgers.
All right, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
51.5 is my guess.
I think you're right. I think you're right on
Did
point.
Did I just nail it?
Yeah.
Is Cakes a little bit silly?
I think it's right around 52.
And that's a good poll.
I'd have to check that.
And you know what? You can't bet on Rutgers there.
Oh, no.
You just
They're going to beat, because you know these teams, they have to continue to pound teams.
Right.
I mean, Clemson had to do this. Clemson, by the way, one of the best bets of the week was Clemson over the team total, which was 43.5.
Right.
Because if you watched any of Game Day, Kirk Herbstreit talked about the fact that he was on a conference call with Dabo. And Dabo was pissed off because he felt disrespected that he got bumped to 5 below Penn State in the first college football rankings. So what does Dabo do? He goes out there and scores 52. Some of these coaches know they have to impress the committee by blowing out the opponent.
By the way, pretty soft ending to Rutgers' campaign for 2019. Ohio State comes to town. Here's their soft spot, home to Michigan State, and then they're at Penn State to close out the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a bloodbath.
It's brutal.
Yeah. And then we talked about LSU-Bama. LSU never trailed in the game, and there was a clear momentum-shifting play earlier in the game. First drive for Bama. They go down to about the 8-yard line, and Tua just drops the ball. LSU recovers. They go right down the field and score.
He tried to shift the ball into his offhand, fumbled it, dropped it.
That's just a huge momentum shifter.
Yep.
There was another play on 3rd and 10 where there was horrible tackling by Bama. They allowed Hilaire to get 11 yards on that play, and they go in and score again. 46-41 final. Penn State loses to Minnesota at Minnesota.
That was a shock.
And what a massive win for PJ Fleck and company there in Minnesota.
Great way to celebrate that new contract, huh?
Yeah.
People sleep on Minnesota because they haven't played anybody, which is true, but that's a tough place to play. They've got a good quarterback.
The Terpsol is a tough place to play a few weeks ago.
Yep. They've got a good quarterback. Tanner Morgan's legit. They've got a really good running back in Rodney Smith. They've got two receivers I think will play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a pretty big upset. Now, remember, Minnesota undefeated going into these college football rankings. They were 17 in the first set, and I wonder how far they're going to jump. Maybe 17 to about 10?
Probably. They're probably sniffing that top 10 rarefied air.
Yep. So the next rankings will come out Tuesday. Tomorrow it'll be Ohio State, LSU. Clemson will move into the top 4, and then probably Georgia.
By the way, getting back to LSU for just a second, if I'm Coach O, I don't know how much of the "this is our house now" that I'm going to be doing on Alabama's field. Mm-hmm. Do you think that doesn't rankle Nick Saban?
Yeah.
You don't think Nick Saban's going to give that back to him in the future? And I understand they've built something.
Well, he didn't
really
think
good.
That was kind of going to get out. You got to give him that. That all kinds of stuff is said in the locker room.
No. This is on the field.
Oh.
I mean, this is with cameras everywhere.
I thought you were talking about when he said something
F roll tide. That should not get out. That's like a donk player filming, and then
right.
It gets released. But him doing the thing on the middle of the field, basically said, "this is our house now," blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's great to be emotional, but that's going to come back and haunt you at some point.
Okay, well, again, he was emotional.
Yeah, certainly.
And they haven't beaten Bama in 8 years.
Right.
And it was a big one.
Yep.
And they deserved the win.
Sure.
They were clearly the better team. All right, so we'll figure out what happens with those college football rankings. It'll be the second of, I believe, 5. It'll come out tomorrow. And there's going to be debates, and there's going to be arguments. There's biases. You know, there's arguments on a bunch of different teams. And hopefully we just see the best 4 teams in the playoff. The Caps just don't lose.
They do not.
Caps won again.
You know who they don't lose to? The Vegas Golden Knights. That's who they don't lose to.
Yeah. 29 points, I believe. Still best in the league.
That's right.
And they will play again tonight. I believe they play Arizona tonight.
Ooh, they've got the Yotes.
I think there's only 2 games on the board in the NHL tonight, and I think Washington plays Arizona. I think they host them.
I want to.
Will you check that?
I will, and I will also check to see where Carly is in the stat race at this point, where he's stacking up points-wise.
Man, they're just having an unbelievable year. Have they won six straight? Six or seven straight?
I'd have to double check it. I like our bet so far. I like our bet. I wish we had done it for more, but I like it.
How are we going to lose that over 97
and a half? Let's not get crazy. Carly has 28 points. As of right now, he is fourth in the league. It's pretty good. It's pretty solid.
All right, tonight, Arizona at Washington, 7 o'clock. NBC Sports Washington.
Have to watch Joe B. and Locker with the call.
Arizona, I believe, has, if they're not tops in the league, they're in the top three in goals against.
Ooh.
So they don't allow a lot of goals. But Washington's been killing everybody. Cakes, 29 points already.
It's been a very impressive start to the season. Arizona, 20 points. It's pretty respectable.
Wizards lost over the weekend to Cleveland. I believe they are 2-6. And I looked at the box score and I said, how do you lose to Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson?
And Colin Sexton.
I mean, how do you lose to that team?
And is it Chady Osman?
Yes, Osman. How do you lose to that team, Kicks?
Well, that's why the Wiz are going to have between 20 and 24 wins. That's why.
It's just, again, there are certain nights where NBA teams choose to show up.
Right.
And there are certain nights where they choose not to show up. And I'm sorry, if you lose to Cleveland at home, you chose not to show up. Kind of a sad story in college hoops. Cassius Winston.
This is a brutal story.
Who is the star point guard for Michigan State. He's got a couple brothers that play on a D3 team in Michigan. Albion College.
Yeah.
Zachary Winston, his younger brother, stepped out in front of a train at 8:30 on Saturday night in a suicide.
Oof, that's brutal.
And Cassius Winston, the next day, decides he's going to play. They played last night against Binghamton.
Yeah.
Played the game.
Yeah, good for him. Everybody deals with grief in a different way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably the best way is get out there and get your mind free.
Man, that's tough, isn't it?
Oh, brutal. Can't imagine.
His brother just decides this world's not for me. As I mentioned in the first segment, I did go to Virginia Tech this past weekend to see my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Went to my first game at Lane Stadium. Virginia Tech beat Wake Forest.
You didn't film like
36-17.
You didn't use your phone to capture the whole entrance and all
Sandman?
That.
Yeah. I did. I got
you
it
did?
On video.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It's pretty cool vibe.
Yeah.
Did you have a creeper with the send off to Bud Foster?
No, but
little creeper.
No, but it was an emotional. It was on the Jumbotron, and he just thanked the fans and the players and everyone, all the coaches. I took a selfie with Frank Beamer.
Oh, you did? You.
Where'd you see Coach?
On the sideline, I was lucky enough to thank you to Tim Connolly, who does sports radio down there.
Oh, he secured a sideline pass?
He got me a sideline pass, went down there, introduced myself to Frank Beamer, took a selfie with him.
Very good.
It was just funny. I said, Coach, can I get a selfie?
That's not like you.
Sure, you can.
Right? You like to get pictures, but I've never really seen you do the selfie bit.
Well, it's just easier to do that than to ask someone to take it for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I get it.
I was hanging out with Sean Glennon and his wife down there on the sideline, and
there's
a bunch of former players there for the send off for Bud Foster. Of course, he's retiring after this year. 25 years as defensive coordinator.
Long run.
Most of that, of course, under Frank Beamer.
Yes.
His right hand man.
Correct.
Long time guest of the show, many times.
Yep.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Morgan Moses from your Redskins. He'll update us on what he did during the bye weeks. That's next here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah.
We
dash a digit. The schedule busy, my head in a hoodie, my shorty a goodie, my cousins are crazy, my cousins like Boogie. Life is amazing, it is what it should be.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9 a.m., we'll dive into EB's entertainment page. I'm sure he went out and saw three or four movies this weekend. He'll get us caught up on all that and more. But right now, joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Morgan Moses, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Good morning, Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How about you guys?
Doing well.
Now, what was that Meek Mill?
No.
Who was that?
Drake.
Oh, that was Drake. Okay.
There you go.
Not Kenyon Drake,
Did he change his walk-up?
No. Meek Mill is Chris Thompson. You're getting confused.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Because his is, I believe Morgan's is AC/DC.
That's right.
Yeah, somebody changed that up on me today.
Yeah. That was Sean. Sean wasn't hip today. Yeah. AC/DC.
Yeah, I don't like it. AC/DC.
Greater than
Drake for your boy Flakes and for Morgan, apparently.
All right, we'll get that straight for next week. Morgan, first of all, give us the results, if you can, on the MRI you had last week, because that's why you missed the show. I know you had a pec injury in the latest game. How you feeling? What were the results?
I mean, obviously, you know, coming off the bye week, you know, you got some time to really heal up and things like that. You know, I'm feeling good, ready to go. You know, we got to practice today. Got the guys coming back in from the bye week and, you know, get ready for the Jets.
Well, what did the MRI say?
So there was no tear, obviously, because you wouldn't be playing if you tore it.
It was just some minor stuff, some scar tissue and stuff like that. So just got to manage the pain and just go from there.
How did Morgan spend his bye week? I saw that Landon Collins flew down to Alabama for the Bama-LSU game. Did you keep close to your home base? What did you do during the bye?
I just hung out with the kids, man. We went to Atomic, which is like a jump trampoline place. We actually went to the Capitals game on Saturday. So we got after it, man. Just spent a little time with the kids and just had a blast.
Yeah, but you're not jumping. There's no chance you're jumping around on the trampoline. You're just watching your kids
do it. That ain't happening.
There's just not happening.
I'm all in. Me and the kids, we go do the dodgeball. We do it all.
You're kidding.
They got the dodgeball in there. Yeah.
Good for you, man. Good for you. That trampolines can support you?
Hey, look. Hopefully, right? We hope we can, but you know, just having some fun with the kids and just you know, on the off time, you know, getting some workouts in and stuff like that. But mainly spending time with the kids, man.
Hey, Morgan, one of the biggest ripoffs on the planet is whenever you go to one of the jump places, they make you buy like $4 socks for everybody. That's just such a ripoff. You probably spent $20 on socks alone.
It is. It is.
But it's just a nightmare. Kids never remember to bring them. You always have to buy the new socks.
I hate going.
There and, yeah. You get there, it's like, oh, it's going to be fine. Then it's like $100.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Very frustrating.
You know what? Take advantage of having young kids, my friend.
Uh-oh, you're about to get melancholy.
You're getting all melancholy.
Because before you know
it. He's getting all sentimental on me right now.
Well, I'm just going to say, before you know it, you snap your fingers and your kids are in college and they're driving.
That's true.
And you never see them. So take advantage. Don't blink. Don't blink.
Hey, look, I hope your kids are listening to this right now.
Well, they're not, I guarantee.
That's the other part.
Yeah, they don't really care.
All right, so what's it like for you in terms of preparation on a bye week? So you got to spend time with the kids. You got your MRI, whatever. Were you completely away from the park? Do you come in for treatment? What have the last few days been like?
You know, I came in for treatment just to make sure I was maintenance and things that I need to get ready for this week against the Jets. But, you know, really just spending time with the kids. And, you know, I actually brought them out to the facility, and we ran around on their hover and did their hoverboards on the turf while I was running and things like that. So, you know, just, you know, being in the building, being out the building, but, you know, still spending time with them, whether they're coming with me here or whatever the case is, and just getting out and just having fun.
Now, when you show up on an off day like that, I mean, is it sort of business as usual, like the front office guy? I mean, do you see Bruce walking around? I mean, do you see Dan? Do you see the secretary? Like, what's it like there on an off day?
You know, really, you know, if you're not on, well, on the bye week, if you're not an injured player, you don't really have to be here. So you got guys that are here that are rehabbing for, you know, injuries and things like that, you know. But just, you know, I think, you know, I know CT was here. We had the Shazer here. We had a couple of guys just getting here and trying to get ready for the upcoming week.
So how do you feel physically? Like, will you be at 80%, 90%? I know nobody's 100% at this point in the year, but how comfortable will you be that you'll be good to go? What kind of percentage would you put on it?
Dude, I played through a whole bunch of injuries, so I'm pretty sure I'll be fine. I mean, percentages are, you know, they go up and down throughout the week. But my main focus is just getting ready for the Jets and making sure, you know, I got everything covered for the game.
What's the preparation like for the week now? Where are you guys? Like, what are you guys doing today?
You know, we got a bonus day. We got a bonus practice today. So just to get the guys that, you know, a lot of guys went out to go see their families and things like that. So just getting them back and acclimated to football, you know, get out here, run around, get loose, and, you know, just probably have some good on good periods where we go ones against ones and things like that. But just really just focus on getting ourselves back together.
Now, have you started breaking down tape on the Jets and your matchup and that sort of thing? Who do you have this week?
You know, the thing about them, man, they have a plethora of rushers, man. They have, you know, the young D tackle from out of Alabama, Brandon Copeland, Jenkins. But the main factor, man, is keeping number 33 from out the box, man. He's a hell of a player. You know, I'm speaking about Jamal Adams, so right. He's a hell of a player. And, you know, obviously we got to account for him in the run game and the pass game because he makes a lot of plays. So, you know, I actually spent my Sunday at 1 o'clock watching the Jets and Giants game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask you how much you watched of that game. That was incredible. I couldn't believe Barkley couldn't get anything going. The Jets held him to one rushing yard. One.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're a stout defense, man. They do a lot of great things. And, you know, obviously, you know, Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, you know, he's been around the league for a while. So just being able to know know what he's done throughout the league, you know, since he's been a coach, he's had some great defense, and he's not scared to blitz him at all. So we got to prepare for a whole bunch of looks this week.
What do you expect from the crowd? Because, you know, there's been light crowds there for the Skins when they're losing. Everyone's pissed off at, you know, ownership and all that. You know the drill.
Yeah,
but the Jets fans will travel.
I think the good thing about it that the Jets are what, 2-7.
Yep.
So it's not like we're playing. You know, not talking about the Jets. Not that they're a bad team or anything. You know, we're in the same boat. But you know, two teams that are trying to get wins. And, so you know, hopefully we get a great crowd out there because we need the support. You know, obviously we want to, you know, go out there and win with our fans cheering on us. Cheering for us, but you know, like I said before, man, it's all about the guys in the locker room. So we just got to continue handling things that we need to handle and get this thing rolling. And like you pointed out early, is obviously rushing the ball. You know, obviously you see what they did to a all pro premium back and Saquon Barkley, holding them to one rushing yard. So we definitely have to focus on getting Adrian going early.
Do you feel somewhat vindicated in the sense that since Callahan's taken over and the emphasis on the running game, you know, it's a lot, the production has been there. Now, sometimes it slows down in the second half as teams catch on. But when you look at sort of total numbers, you guys are, you know, you're running the football a lot better than you were earlier in the year.
I think it just comes down to opportunities, you know, running the ball and sticking with it, you know, not having those you know, when you have those one-yard gains, not, you know, saying, hey, we're not going to run the ball again. But, you know, because there's things that go into running the ball that even if you only get a one-yard gain, you're still pounding the defensive lineman. It's still being a physical play. So when you come back to it, you know, you got to take into account those things. So, you know, it's just the opportunities of running the ball. And then obviously Adrian, you know, being the all-pro Hall of Fame running back he is, the more opportunities you give him, the more production he'll get. So,
joined by Morgan Moses, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Do you think Haskins looks at Daniel Jones's stat line from yesterday against the Jets, where he threw four touchdowns, goes over 300 yards, and he just starts salivating? But then he thinks, you know what, Callahan likes to run the ball. I'm not going to get this sort of opportunity, but he has to like at least. What he sees on tape against this Jets defense allowed four touchdowns yesterday.
You know, you got to take it with a grain of salt because obviously our offense is a lot different than their offense, and scheme-wise, how the Jets played them might be way different how they play us, knowing that we're a run first team. So, you know, he'll get his opportunities and like I said, man, throughout the week in practice to be able to get those looks throughout the week. Will be very important for him, especially as a young quarterback getting his second start. But, you know, the key for us is to run the ball, obviously, to make the third and, you know, third and second downs. in short distance, you know, make him so we can open up the playbook for Haskins so he feels comfortable to facilitate the ball.
How do you feel like he's come along and progressed in terms of preparation? You hear a lot of whispers that maybe he didn't quite get it at first, which not to be unexpected. He's a rookie. But that preparation and digging into his playbook and spending the extra time and that sort of thing has really picked up in the last few weeks.
You know, obviously we talk about opportunity, and opportunity, you'll get results. And so I think the difference from last week when we played the Bills, and from previous weeks is that he took every one rep. And so, you know, you guys know football. You know, when you're getting ready for a game, you only got one quarterback to get ready. So if Case Keenum's a starter, Case Keenum is getting all the reps and pretty much all the looks that, you know, your second quarterback is getting is on in the meeting room. And some people love the meeting room, and some people have to be on the field and physically do it and physically see it. And I think him getting those not only mental but physical reps throughout the week helped him out a lot.
What's he like in the huddle?
Oh, he's good, man. Obviously, he's been in a big program like Ohio State, so he's been around talented players all his life. And you know, to be able to see him take a step and come in a huddle and talk to the guys and make sure, you know, the play is being called the right way and breaking the huddle. I think he did a fantastic job in the Buffalo game of getting this in and out the huddle with time on the clock.
Right.
And I think, you know, that was something that people were like, well, you know, we're getting out the huddle with 5 seconds and have to rush. And I think that's one of the key things that, you know, that where the coaching staff tried to correct with him is getting us out the huddle with plenty of time on the clock. That way we can make, you know, different calls if we have to, if we see some things that are different when we line up. And so I think he's doing a great job.
Besides the quarterback, besides Dwayne, who's there right now, who's chirping the most in the huddle? Are you guys pretty professional, pretty quiet, or are some guys in there talking, maybe trying to motivate each other, maybe bitching and moaning, maybe complaining? Who's the biggest talker in there?
I think it's all of us. You know, all of us we're all motivated and we're all self-motivated. And, you know, the one thing for us as an offensive line is that we know we have a young quarterback and we know we have, you know, some younger receivers and things like that. So it's for us to, you know, set the huddle, get the huddle ready, you know, come in there, you know, make sure, you know, Haskins has the right personnel and get the play called and get up to the ball and get it ran.
Well, Morgan, your boys got away with one against Georgia Tech this past weekend. Won that game by 5. And unless Virginia Tech slips up and loses to Georgia Tech or Pitt, which is certainly a possibility, that's going to set up a monster game between your boys and Virginia Tech for the Coastal in a few weeks, probably 3 weeks.
Yep, I'm excited. Man, obviously, they're playing some great football, man. Bronco Mendenhall has done a tremendous job of changing that program's outlook. And, you know, obviously sports there at UVA is growing year in, year out. You know, our basketball team is they're off to a great start again. And, you know, I just can't wait, man. I think it's exciting that, you know, they get to play Virginia Tech with the intentions of having something on the line.
Morgan, thanks as always. Good to talk to you. Good to catch up. And best of luck against the Jets this upcoming weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, fellas. May I have a good one.
All right, you too, pal.
That's Morgan Moses, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Don't sleep on it. Coming up at 9 a.m., EB is going to regale us with his entertainment page.
Do my best, brother.
That's coming up at 9 a.m. here on The Jump.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9 o'clock, EB's entertainment page. It's a Monday, so I'm sure he'll tell us what happened at the box office this past weekend.
We always do that.
But need to bring up the story that broke over the weekend about Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who EB likes to call Jeff Bezos. He has interest in owning an NFL team.
Of course he does. Who
strong
wouldn't?
Support. Yeah, you know what? I have interest in owning an NFL team too, but I just don't have the financial wherewithal to do such a thing.
Right.
Jeff Bezos does.
Well, we've been hearing rumors over the last few weeks that Snyder was shopping the team.
Well, but there have been somebody that works with a firm that tries to analyze data,
right,
of like what it's worth and that sort of thing. Which might be a routine thing you do when you own an asset like that.
Could be.
But this
is interesting because you do have another power broker here in town.
For sure. The thing is I think in all likelihood, I mean, nobody knows. Nobody knows Dan because Dan's an enigma and he's a weirdo and he has a very, very small inner circle.
Yeah, I think he's at inner circle of one, Bruce Allen.
Well, I think he's got a couple guys, but, you know, the minority owners and that sort of thing. But I think the common perception is that Dan's going to own this team till he dies, right? Why would he sell it? It's a cash cow.
Yeah, it wouldn't
no matter
any
how
sense.
Poorly he manages it, the TV deal and the TV money and that the sort of guaranteed revenue that each team gets makes it a can't-lose proposition for him. The franchise continues to go up in value. He bought the team for what? $800 million or so?
$800 million. Yep.
And now the team is valued at somewhere, what, $2.5-3 billion?
$3.4 billion.
Yeah, I mean, why would he?
$3.4 billion.
Why would he sell it?
Imagine if they were actually good, what they'd be worth.
Yeah.
They might be worth close to $5 billion.
Imagine if they were well run.
Imagine if they were a good team.
Right.
Well, he could sell it and quadruple his money. That would be decent.
True, but
I'd
what
like
does he care? He already lives like a king. The only theory I had is why he may sell is he may be tired of being hated.
Right. And tired of losing.
Yeah, but I don't think that even affects him.
But I don't think that really affects him either.
I don't think that affects him. I don't think that they're capable of being embarrassed at this point. I just don't think he's insulated.
Maybe at his core, he's just a businessman, even though he's not a great businessman.
But, well, I think he's a fan.
No, he is a fan, but maybe over time he's just become more entrenched in the business aspect of the NFL and making money and increasing the value than he is a fan. But who knows? Who knows?
Right. But I think the likelihood of Bezos, you know, buying the team outright from the Redskins, I put it at about a 5%. And that might even be high.
What about buying into it and
maybe
being
a minority
owner?
But is he going to be a backseat guy? Yeah, he strikes me as a guy who wants to be in charge of everything.
Maybe he buys as a minority, but they put a clause in there that he could be the sole owner, you know, over time.
Right.
If Snyder decides to bail out.
I guess that's a possibility.
You could put a sort of clause in there that could give him sole ownership down the road. Who knows?
Yeah, but don't you get the sense that Dan's going to want to pass that along with an amazing asset to pass that along to your children?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Although Jack Kent Cook didn't feel the necessary need to do that.
Or he could just blow Dan out of the water with an offer.
What if he offers him four and a half billion?
No, what if he offered him like
well, what's the difference between $3 billion and $4 billion?
He's
not going to do that.
He completely resets the market. Says, you know what? I don't care about what, you know, like upsetting the other owners. I'm going to reset the market. I'm going to offer Dan Snyder $8 billion for the Washington Redskins. I don't know how you could turn that down if you're Snyder.
Well, you
I just don't know
but,
how you could do
Bezos
it.
But Bezos would never do that.
I mean,
he's not going to offer $8 billion. He's not going to ever get his money back.
Well, who cares? Look at what he's worth.
I know, but he's still
a
businessman.
He doesn't care about $8 billion.
He's still a businessman. He's not going to give $8 billion
Look,
to a guy. Is the team going to be worth $10 billion at some point?
I framed it as it's a long shot, and it probably won't happen. But what if that does happen?
I think if he really wanted to make an offer, it'd be in the $5 billion range.
No, hold on. Billionaires aren't in the business of being billionaires because they're frivolous with their money. He's not going to offer $1 billion more than what the franchise is worth.
I know.
It's not going to happen.
Right. Well, he's saying he's going to offer $8 billion.
No, Cakes is just he can't comprehend the money. That's why he's being crazy.
It's a wild card, but
no
everything's
ever
on the table.
No one's ever overpaid by $1 billion.
No, that's
it just
not
doesn't
happen.
If you really want it, you might be willing to overpay.
Do you think he would offer $4 to $5 billion?
Maybe. Maybe. But
if that was the case, Snyder's got
to
take it.
No, he doesn't. Why not? What's the difference to him? $3.5 billion, $5 billion? It's money he'll never be able to spend.
Because like you said, he's hated. He loses every year.
But I think he lives
There's no one in the stands.
I think he lives in a bubble. Yeah, he's so insulated away from all of the critique and criticism and the hatred.
You got to think about it.
It doesn't affect him.
The guy's got his own driver, right? He's got his own chef, I'm sure.
If he was older, if he was, you know, he's in his 50s, but if he was older, you know, in his 70s, late 70s, he might sell it.
Maybe. But then again,
so if that was the case, no team would ever sell. The owners would always keep it.
Right. But see, well, some of them I think maybe are strictly businessmen. I really do believe that Dan, and this is just from, perception because nobody really knows Dan. I really do believe he's a fan. He grew up a fan of this team, and it's just like the biggest fantasy of his life to own this team.
Right. Well, that's why I hired Gibbs.
Right. As other guys, I think, they're just businessmen. And they buy teams because it's a great business. Why wouldn't you? But they're not necessarily. Like, I truly think Dan grew up, like, basically a white trash fan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an unbelievable
opportunity that fell into his lap. Because Milstein's deal fell through.
Right.
And he's able to swoop in and leverage himself.
Exactly.
Get in and buy the Redskins.
It was a one in a million shot. He found himself as the owner of this team. And I just don't see a scenario where he sells it. Now, they keep throwing out there this idea, and I know Nick Ashew's apparently got some inside information on some of this stuff, that maybe Amazon might be tied into a new stadium somehow. They can leverage that and have a partnership. But I don't see Dan selling the team.
I just don't see it ever happening.
That would validate
him as the world's worst businessman. Selling the Redskins.
But you know what?
Yes.
But fans can still grasp.
Even if he makes a killing doing it, because it's only going to keep going up in value over the years.
Our best grasp is that he fires Bruce. And what I've been surprised by, I know driving around this weekend, I've heard some people talking. There is a growing sentiment. I know JP's one of them. And it's just JP and his dumb opinion. But there are others out there that agree with him, that they finally may have reached bottom with Dan, where he's going to have to move on from Bruce. That would be something to be at least excited for.
I'd be surprised by that, but crazier
things have happened. How many GMs survive a 1-15 or a 2-14 year? How many?
Not many.
Yeah.
It
usually doesn't happen.
I would argue maybe one. Bruce Allen. He's it.
Let's go to Adam in Columbia. Adam, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Morning, Junks. I'm surprised no one brought this up before, that perhaps Snyder might open the window to a minority ownership with Bezos, because we all know the Washington Post isn't exactly kind to Danny Snyder in the way he handles things. So perhaps it's a way of kind of cooling things off. What do you guys think?
It's not a bad angle. Again, the idea it comes back to, though, is Bezos a guy? I mean, where is he? Number one or number two on the list of the richest people in the world?
Number one.
Does he strike you as a guy that's going to take a backseat to any owner?
But it's the window in.
But it's not going anywhere.
And by the way, the Washington Post is doing what they should do with Daniel Snyder. They should be grilling him at every turn for the way this franchise has been run since he's owned it.
100%.
100%. 100%. But his angle might be, hey,
beyond money, it's a small boys club. There's only 32 seats, and it's his way in, and it might be,
But there are going to be other opportunities. Seattle's going to be up for grabs.
Well, if I'm Bezos, the first thing I'm saying to Snyder, if I get in bed with him business-wise, is the Washington Post is not going to treat you with kid gloves all of a sudden just because we're business partners. That is not going to happen.
Drabby, you want to chime in? So, you're a Seahawks fan, you know.
Well, most likely team that he would buy would be the Seahawks, because they're going to be out for sale because Paul Allen died. But at least on Seahawks Twitter, none of them want Bezos anywhere near the Seahawks because of his management style, that he's notoriously cheap and he won't invest in the team. He won't invest in coaching. He's all about the bottom line.
Right.
Now, apparently that's different, how he's approached the Washington Post differently, but over the last 20 years, the way he's run Amazon has been very frugally.
Right.
So, they say careful what you wish
for.
He's
a little bit of a squeaker.
Now, but then you're comparing him to Dan Snyder, who's just made everyone stop rooting for their favorite team.
Right.
Right. Let's go to Eric in Arlington. Eric, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, boys. Another fine show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So here are my thoughts about Bezos. First off, I hear the complaint about Bezos being cheap with employees, but that's for the people that work in the Amazon fulfillment centers. But when it comes to Amazon employees who work in their cloud and Amazon web services, that dude pays top dollar. So I wouldn't be all that concerned with it. But second, in terms of Bezos throwing out a ridiculous number for the team, he can't go out and just throw out $7 or $8 billion, because even his personal moves in business can affect that Amazon stock price, because people will look at that and say, well, does he have the proper judgment to continue running this company? Mm-hmm. So I don't even think the Bezos thing is even remotely possible. And lastly, I think Dan Snyder is telling himself and has always told himself, I am doing a really good job of running this team. I don't think he sees any need to sell it, because when he looks at the valuation, Forbes values it as one of the top five or six franchises in the world, sports franchises in the world. He looks at that and says, you know what? I am doing a great job running this team. Great show, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Eric. You bring up a great point. Why is Forbes continuing to do that, though? Is Forbes in touch? This is not that heritage franchise doesn't have the same value that it had 15 years ago. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I don't.
The name Washington Redskins is not as powerful as it was 15 years ago. It's just not.
So the Forbes magazine did a list and they were ranked 6.
I guess they do these lists all the time. I don't know which one he's referring to. These lists come out all the time. But what are they basing it on?
I don't know.
They can't be basing it on ticket sales. They can't be basing it on jersey sales.
I'm not sure how they come up with the final figure.
I mean, they got to redo their formula. It doesn't have the same cachet it once did.
Despite them being a laughing stock for the last 20 years, they're still highly valued. I don't understand exactly why.
It doesn't make sense.
Let's see.
List do you see?
The most recent list. From Market Insider.
What date do you have there? Is that a 2019 list?
July 24, 2019.
All right.
Okay. The number, I'm going to go 10 to 1. 10 was the Dodgers. Actually, the Dodgers and Giants are tied at $3.5 billion.
All right.
Golden State Warriors at $3.5 billion, number 9. Lakers at $3.7 billion, number 8. Patriots at $3.8 billion, number 7. Hold on.
There's no way the Redskins are ahead of the Patriots.
I wouldn't think so.
They can't be in there.
I'm just going down this list.
Yeah.
New York Knicks. Hold on a second.
They're not worth more than the Knicks.
Yeah, so based on this list, they're not even in the top 10.
Yeah, they can't be.
They're not in the top 10.
They can't be.
I saw them valued at $3.4 billion as of 2019. So that might have 15th.
That would be outside the top 10, yeah.
Yeah.
That might be 12.
Well, maybe it's like in the top 10 in the NFL franchise. What are the NFL franchises that are in there? Obviously, the Cowboys.
Well, like I said, the Patriots were 7. Manchester United is 6 at 3.8. The Knicks are at $4 billion, yeah. Number 5.
That's the Knicks. They're god awful.
Barcelona's at 4, over $4 billion. Real Madrid's 4.2 at 3. And then number one's Dallas.
Right.
Yankees are number 2. Right. So Yankees and Dallas. Right. So they might be in the top 5 in terms of NFL.
Yeah.
Or rankings, but not in sports.
When we come back, we can weave in some of your calls on the Jeff Bezos to the NFL rumors, and we'll get into EB's entertainment page as well next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.